You wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So just as we're looking at this, addressing what Paul's answer here, it seems to me the question has to do with this thought between those that are married and those that are single. And it seems that there was an element within the church at Corinth, maybe based on all the immorality that was going on, maybe based on some things that Paul had said or taught while he was there, maybe based on how they had seen Paul live his life as a single man, that there was this thought that because of this, right, wouldn't it just be better to be single? Isn't that more spiritual? Isn't that more obedient, right? As a single person, I can live, right? And that's more spiritual. That's being more obedient to Christ within that as a single person, right? I think that's the question. I think that's the heart behind the question that's going on here. And so the short answer, right, is no. Right? No. Right? Being single is not more spiritual at all. But neither is being married. Right? Paul puts them really on an equal footing here. Paul really says here, both are good. God uses both in different ways. There's advantages to being single. There are disadvantages, certainly, to being single. And there are advantages to being married. And there are disadvantages to being married. And Paul stresses this thought. As God has gifted each one, as God has brought each one to this place of whether they're single or married, right? Live in that. That's what really is the encouragement here. Now, again, the main issue, right, the main issue, and Paul deals with this here, the main issue is discipline regarding sex, right? Discipline within that. And he starts off here, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, and that is a phrase referring to sex. That's what it's referring to, right? That's good within, right, within the context of being single. Right? That's the context there. The context is of being single. The single life, someone who, and Paul doesn't distinguish her, he just says the person who's never been married, so married, widow, divorced, whatever, right? Single is celibate, period, right? There's no exception there at all, period, right? Is to be celibate. And as Paul says here, there are some advantages, right? There's some advantages to being single. Paul encourages it. He says, if you find yourself in this place where you are single, right, you don't need to run and try to find someone else. You don't have to try to run and jump into a relationship. He's like, there are some advantages to that. Look at how God has used me in ministry as a single man. There are things that I can do that other people can't do. Right, Paul. That's what Paul really is stressing. There is a freedom. There is a flexibility to the person that's single in there as they serve Christ in ministry. And so Paul's encouraging them in that. You'll be like me. There are things that Paul could not really have done or done as effectively as a married person. Right? If he was married, right? He lived a transient life. Right? Paul didn't have a place he called home. Right? Yeah, he was from Tarsus. He may have had a home there. We don't know. He ended up in Antioch a few different times. But as God, you know, God called him as he was saved. He placed his faith in Christ. We know he spent 10 years in preparation just in Tarsus. And there, and he says he went to the desert. And so in preparation before he gets sent out, right? 10 years from the experience in Damascus to the experience in Antioch when he gets sent out with Barnabas on that first missionary journey. Right? And so Paul, he lived this life where he never settled down. He was just from place to place to place. He'd go wherever he wanted, whenever, right? Wherever God called, whenever. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have children. He didn't have that which he was then responsible for that he had to worry about. And so he says, hey, God, use that in my life. So don't, right, if you're single, don't discount how God can use that. There is advantages certainly to that. And as Paul acknowledges here, he himself, right, disciplined, content within that, right, sex, right? That is the issue, right? He says, if you're single, right, no, you're celibate, and be content within that. But then he talks about the marriage relationship. It also has its advantages. Certainly there is the wonderful intimate relationship. There is the closeness that is marriage. It is fulfilling sexually, of course. There's the accountability there built in as a couple together, as they minister together. And as Paul points out, there's ownership. There's ownership, there's possession, there's this object of sexual desire that's built into the marriage relationship. As he says here, your own wife, your own husband. And they can minister as a couple, they can minister as a family. And certainly within that, if God blesses with children, there's also the task of raising the next generation. And incorporating, you know, the truth of who God is into the lives of young people, right? That certainly is a part of that, right? That there's advantages there of being married. But again, less flexible. Very less, right? A lot less flexible. There's a need, right? Together. I think Paul really encourages in ministry, you need to do it together. I always struggle when couples do ministry, like the guy like takes off for like a year to go somewhere. I'm like, really? Like, you're married. Your devotion should be to your wife and to your family. And so I think Paul really is encouraging that, but he's saying, right, if you're married, there's advantages. If you're single, there's advantages. Neither is better than the other. He's encouraging that. None is better. Neither one is better or more spiritual in any way. And so certainly while the single life must be celibate, the married life must have sex. Right? He says that. That's what he says. It must have that. As long as there's ability, right? There can be issues. But he's saying, right? As long as there's ability, that has to be going on without restraint. Maybe for a time, there's some abstinence for fasting and prayer, but very temporary. And as he says, I just say that as a concession. I'm not saying that you have to do that. But so that was Paul's heart. That's where Paul went with this. And as he says here, each is gifted, and that thought of gift is blessing. Within the context, there's whether single or married. You know, both are good. Both are a blessing. If you're single, you're unmarried, that's good. Remain, right? Remain so. There's nothing wrong with that. But as he says here, this is the issue of desire, and certainly God has created us to desire to be with, right, within that relationship, that marriage relationship with another person, right? That's built in. But as Paul says here, you know, there's nothing wrong with being single. But if you have that desire, right, trust God in that. Trust in him to provide for you in that. But be patient, right? Be patient. Again, you're not less spiritual for getting married. Right? You're not less spiritual for that. Right? You're not more spiritual if you're single. And so then, right, I think that's really the question. I think that's what Paul is dealing with in that. That there was this thought, there was this desire that people were like, wow, we see you, Paul. We see you ministering. Man, you have a marvelous ministry, and I want to be like that. And so Paul's like, yeah, it is great. It is, right? I have the flexibility. God has used me in a wonderful way. But that's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. So then we see Paul then move on to a follow-up question. I don't know if this is a question that was asked or if he's just heading it off. Right? He knows what the follow-up question could be based on the original question. I'm not sure, but he addresses it either way, whether it's asked or just kind of unasked, but might be a follow-up question. This question is this. Is it okay to get divorced so I can serve Christ better? Right? Is it okay to get divorced so I can serve Christ
better.
Because that's kind of where that thought process goes, right? If it's better to be single, then, wow, okay. Then I have an excuse now to divorce my wife. And so Paul's going to head that off. Verse 10. He says, now to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. So Paul is dealing with this issue, I think, with people that had this thought of, you know what? Man, that single life really sounds good. Hey, that really sounds good. Wow, God could use me in a really spiritual and wonderful way. And I could go this place and that place and I would be free. Right? And God would be glorified in that. I think that's where people were headed with it. And so Paul's like, and the answer here, as Paul's answering this question, the answer is a resounding no. Right? No. That is not okay. And he bases these verses. He says to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. So he's saying these are biblical principles here. Right? These are things that are foundational. These are things that God has already spoken on. These are things that Jesus taught about when he taught about marriage. He's like this, right? This isn't real hard to understand. He's like, no, you're not to break the covenant of marriage. You're not to seek to get... He's like, if you get divorced, you should seek to restore that, right? That should be your desire. And I think in the context here, he's talking about two believers that are married together because of what comes next and what Paul encourages next. I think this thought is of two believers. And so within the context there, he's like, no, you don't have an excuse to get divorced within this, nor do you or stay separated. Maybe you are separated, but seek, right? Seek to be restoration. That was Paul's encouragement to them. Now, I heard of a pastor. He felt called to the pastorate. But his wife was like, no, I don't want any part of that. And so he divorced her and married someone else. And I'm like, according to this passage, right, clearly... Yeah, no, right? No. How could anyone do that? No, right? And so this was Paul's desire, and that if you are married, and again, he doesn't talk about whether this is your first marriage, second marriage, third marriage, right? He doesn't quantify that or qualify that. He just says, if you're married, period, whatever, right? Whatever situation you're in, he's not dealing with how that came to be or what... Right? Happened in the past. But right now, where you currently are, in the marriage you're in right now, right? Seek what the Lord would have you do within that. Right? Seek what the Lord's desire in that marriage is for you. And that is to be committed, fully committed to the marriage you're in right now. Right? So desiring to be single so you can serve the Lord better, right? No. No. Right? You've taken a vow, you've made a commitment, you are married to this person, be committed to that. And he says, right, things happen. And so maybe, you know, he talks about the woman departing, which means divorced, right? He's talking about divorced. Or he's like, right, but seek then, even in that, seek a restoration within that. Because that's what God desires for you. That is what is best, right? And so that's what Paul's encouragement to them, to the believers at Corinth. Were there believers in Corinth who had been married and remarried several different times? Probably. Probably. I mean, it happened. I'm sure there was. And so his encouragement to them, right? He wasn't condemning them for what had happened in the past, but his encouragement to them, look, see, you're married, be committed to that. And so Paul addresses that thought there. Really, really kind of this, again, we're dealing with the difference between being single and married and his encouragement to those who are married, right? Do everything you can to stay married, right? Do everything, be committed to that. And so then that brings us into the last question that we're going to deal with this morning. Can I divorce my spouse who is an unbeliever? Right? Can I divorce my spouse who is an unbeliever, right? Because the thought is, hey, I'm now a believer. And here I am married to this person who's not a believer. And this isn't working. Man, it would be great if I had someone who was spiritually on the same wavelength as me. And so Paul addresses that then in verse 12. Verse 12 says, "But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. And for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife?" So certainly there was the issue that arose at Corinth, and issue that arises today, of two people who are unequally yoked, as the Bible calls it, unequally yoked. A believer and an unbeliever that are married, yoked together in the covenant of marriage. And this can happen in many, bunch of different, well, I guess not a bunch, but a few different ways for sure, right? Maybe they were both unsaved when they got married and one of them gets saved, right? And now there's a problem. Or maybe one who is saved marries an unbeliever, which is not encouraged, right? The Bible does not encourage that. But maybe that happened. Or maybe the other person lied, right? And pretended to be a follower of Christ. And when it eventually kind of comes down to knowing who this person is, right, it's a realization, oops, this person is really not saved. Right, it can happen, right? And so Paul addresses that, and there were people that were struggling in that. And I know people that are in this situation, and it is hard. It's hard. It's really hard. And so Paul says, hey, look, to those, and as he says here, he says to the rest, I, not the Lord. Right? I, not the Lord. Now, the reason Paul says that is not because Paul's not going to speak the truth here. Paul's just going to say, do whatever you want. But Paul is speaking about something the Lord hasn't dealt with. Right? Because before this, there was no unbelieving and believing partners. Right? Because as you come to faith in Christ, now you are a believer. Right? There wasn't these unequally yoked marriages necessarily that Scripture has dealt with, that God has dealt with. And so Paul is saying here, based on what I already know and what God has already spoken, I'm going to speak to this issue. God hasn't addressed this issue, but I'm going to speak to this issue. And so he says here, if you find yourself in this situation, again, don't seek to be divorced. Right? If the other person is willing, if the unsaved person is willing to stay within the covenant of marriage, right, don't seek to be separated from them. Don't seek to get divorced from them. That was Paul's encouragement to them. He says, I think this is what the Lord would have you to do. And then he gives his reasoning here. Right? He says here, look, you don't know how God's going to use this. You have no idea what God will do. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. But perhaps God will use this in this other person's life to bring them to Christ. Right? That can happen. And Paul's not giving that as an excuse to marry an unbeliever. But he is saying, look, it is very possible. Not guaranteed, but it's possible that the unbelieving spouse will eventually come to Christ. And that would be a great day. Right? That would be a wonderful day. So don't give up on that. Right? Don't give up on that. Seek that. Desire that. And then he says, here, right, what about your children? Right? Look at the children within this relationship. Right? They need to be taught the things of the Lord. They need also to be encouraged to have a relationship with Christ. And so while this may be hard, Paul encourages them, say, hey, you need to stick it out. You need to be committed within this marriage. But then he also gives this caveat, right? He says, if they desire to leave, if they're like, I'm done, like, you're weird, like, this is not the person I married, you came to this Jesus person, I don't like this, I don't want this, and they leave, as Paul says here, let them. You have no obligation whatsoever to chase them down, right, to try to restore that. No, if they are saying, I'm done, I'm out of this marriage, I'm gone, Paul says that's okay. Right, it's okay. Let them go. Now, that's why I say I think verses 10 and 11 are dealing with two believers. Because Paul's encouragement there is to stay together and try to restore within that. But now he's encouraging the person, right? If the other person wants to leave, who's an unbeliever, let them. It's okay, right? Don't feel guilty. Don't feel obligated. It's okay. Just let them go. And I love how Paul puts this at the end of verse 15. But God has called us to peace. Right? But God has called us to peace. And his desire within this is that you know his comfort. You know his peace. You know his security, even in the midst of turmoil. Right? That you know that. And whether the person stays or leaves, you have peace. You do. And so that's the encouragement that Paul gives them here. And as I look at this, I don't see Paul condoning. I don't see Paul condemning people for divorce and remarriage. I see Paul encouraging faithfulness. That's what I see Paul. He's encouraging faithfulness. He's encouraging contentment. Right? Whether you're single or married. Right? Contentment within that. And he's encouraging purity within that. He repeats this over and over. Do not sin. Right? Do not sin. And as he says, if you're married, regardless of the circumstances, right? He doesn't quantify or qualify or whatever. But he says, if you're married, regardless, be committed. Right? Be committed with that, in that. And certainly sex within marriage is awesome. It's a wonderful thing within the covenant of marriage, as long as it stays within the covenant of marriage. And as he says, don't sin. Right? Don't sin. If you're single, be committed to your relationship with Christ. Don't sin. And if you desire to get married, if that's really great, man, no, I want to have this relationship. I need, right? I want to be married. Great. That's great. Right? There's nothing wrong with that desire. But you need to trust God. You need to trust Him to provide the right person for you. You need to trust and be patient. As Paul encourages here, don't sin. Right? Don't sin. Now this morning, maybe there's some of you that feel guilty. Maybe you feel shame over a past relationship, experience. I don't know. Here's the encouragement. You're forgiven. You are forgiven. Under the blood of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Seek that. Know that. Right? Confess it before the Lord. He will forgive you. And as Paul encourages here, be fully committed to him. Be fully committed to your marriage. If you're married, be committed to that. Whatever that marriage is right now, water under the bridge for sure that led up to that, right? Whatever that is, be committed, right? Now. Paul's dealing with the now. Now, the situation you are in right now, be fully committed. I have people that ask me, Pastor Josh, I'm married, my husband is an awful person, and they, you know, say whatever. They're like, can I divorce them? I'm like, you need to read your Bible, and you need to figure that out for yourself. Certainly I have my own beliefs and my own opinions, but you need to go to the Word. You need to seek God in this. You need to seek what He would desire of you within this situation. And I have people that come to me and they've been divorced and they're like, is it okay? Am I permissible for me to get remarried? I'm like, I'm not going to answer that. You need to seek that. You need to read your Bible. You need to see what God has spoken on that. Because understand, there's a lot of division on this. Right? There are people that say, from the spectrum all over, I understand that. And so I encourage people to seek the Word. And here's the issue. Here's the problem. We try to base what the Word of God says and what we believe on our experience. We try to justify, right, where we're at right now. We try to justify that and we try to tweak the Word to accept what maybe decisions we've made or other people have made. And we don't have to do that. We just have to take the Word for what it says and trust what it says and believe what it says and live in obedience to that. And as Paul says here, if you're married, be committed to that. And I always ask people this, whatever, whether they're single or married, seeking a divorce, seeking to be remarried, I ask them this, is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough to satisfy you right now? In the circumstances you're facing right now, where you're at, Is Jesus enough? Because sometimes, right, we struggle with that. We struggle with it. We think, well, I need a relationship. I need, right? I need that. I'm alone, and I don't want to be that way. And I want another person. There's nothing wrong with that. But just understand, if we're not satisfied in our relationship with Jesus Christ, wherever single, married, if we're not satisfied now, changing that is not going to fix anything. It's not. And so I always encourage people in your relationship with Christ, be satisfied in that. And wherever God leads, He leads. Right? Trust Him. Trust Him. Seek Him in those things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word deals with things that we struggle with. That Your Word speaks to things that are hard. That Your Word is truthful. And I know often we struggle with marriage. We struggle with being pure. We struggle with being single at times. And so I just pray, Lord, this morning, help us, O Lord, to seek what You want of us. O Lord, help us to desire to be used by You. Whether we're single, whether we're married, I pray, O Lord, great ministry. I pray that You would use us in a wonderful way to glorify Yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand.